there are plenty of taxpayers that have a problem with what's going on at the appraisal district, and they want to hold someone accountable. They want to get in someone's ear and say, hey, here are the problems I've been having. Here's how I've been mistreated. And it seems like the appraisal district in a lot of areas have been able to just kind of ignore those kind of concerns. And now they're not going to be able to ignore them.
Y'all, this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey guys, we are at a cool place that I've never been to.
A hidden gem.
Bedford, Texas. Have you been here?
I'm just kidding.
I'm talking about the place.
Okay.
Turning Point beer or
Ooh,
brewery.
We have pizzas incoming.
I smell something coming too. I thought it was you for a while.
No, but, I don't smell that good. Thank
this
you.
This is fantastic. Thanks, thanks so much.
Those look really
Detroit
good.
Detroit style pizzas in Bedford, Texas, my friend. We're at Turning Point Beer. Brown Trail 183.
Yeah, and it is enormous inside. Like
it's a beer hole.
Yeah, it's almost like it's an optical illusion. Outside, you see a decent sized building. You walk in, and it's this enormous cavernous place. And they've got barrels on the walls, and I mean, it's really cool. And Turning Point, I asked the owner, one of the co-owners, why Turning Point? What does that mean? He says when they got into this, they noticed that a lot of breweries were really creative, but had terrible beer. And then they had some really boring breweries that had great beer, and they wanted to be the turning point that sort of brought both of those worlds together and were creative but had great beer at the same time.
And Turning Point, the name works perfect to transition to our guest here, too.
It
and
does.
Talk about what we're drinking here, because Texas is at a turning point with property valuations, with property taxes, and with how much say the citizens get on these appraisal district, these review boards. And so we have Chandler Crouchin, the guru of all property tax. He's a realtor, but I mean, I call him anytime there's an issue with property taxes. Why are they going up? What should I be watching for? We call him for everything.
He's realtor. He's broker. He's all knowing with property tax appraisals and how to fight those. And we've built you up really high here, Chandler.
Don't set the bar
Take
too high.
Take it, run, man.
Well, you know, we feel the need to because A, you do know your stuff on this, and B, we ordered these big deep dish pizzas to be sat down in front of us, and you're a keto guy.
I'll eat a pepperoni. They look delicious.
You're gonna break the rules.
No, I eat a pepperoni.
A slice of pepperoni, but just a little tiny pepperoni.
So before we get going, Chandler, just a reminder of the rules here. When I ask a question, don't eat or drink. When Wheeler asks a question, go for it. You can
stretch.
This question can be 4 or 5 minutes long.
You can get up and repark
your car if you need to.
Go to the bathroom. Yeah.
And you know, the other cool thing about Chandler is that your website, you have a lot of videos on there. If people want to challenge their property tax appraisal and try to lower their bill, you walk them through it for free.
Yeah.
So thanks for that. And the website is ChandlerCrouch.com.
You'll find stuff about what we're going to talk about today on our blog. So ChandlerCrouch.com/blog, and it's going to be some of the most the more recent journal entries there.
So I want to ask you this. Before we really dive down into the whole appraisal board thing that is changing, you have become notorious, not just in North Texas, but I think in this state. The notorious Chandler Crouch. For helping people to fight their appraisals year after year after year. I'm curious, what happened last year after, I mean, a lot of people got this property tax relief that was finally delivered by the legislature. You know, some people feel like it should have gone further, but still a lot of people got relief. Did you see as many people going, I need to fight my appraisal this time?
Well, yes, we did, but the level of panic was not there. But yeah, everybody, whether your property tax bill goes up or down, or even honestly, whether your value goes up or down, is a completely separate point on to whether or not your value is accurate. And so that's what I just encourage everybody to pay attention to the value that they deliver around April 15th to identify if that value is accurate. Yeah, and so every year, no matter what happens, it's worth it to take an extra look. And
but how do you what do I compare it to? Because the county says it's worth this. What am I comparing it to? Neighbors selling their houses or what?
Yeah, that's one way to do it. That's, you can kind of get an idea of what your neighborhood is going for if you just pay attention to what's on the market or ask a local realtor.
But don't sit and not fight your appraisal just because you got relief.
Right. And the vast majority of people that had a homestead exemption or an over 65 exemption did see relief. And it was sizable. It was significant. And it was much needed. It was a Band-Aid, but it was a really, really good Band-Aid.
Those values are going to start creeping back up, though. We know
absolutely.
That. It happens. And so, you know, just beware of that. Now, voters had to sign off on that, and of course they did overwhelmingly. They also signed off on the topic that we're talking about today, which is allowing voters to elect several of the board members on these appraisal boards. How significant is that change?
To me, it's very, very significant. That was the most exciting part of that legislation that they got passed because when America was founded, we had this principle that there's no taxation without representation. That's one of the reasons why this country formed, was for taxation principles. People were getting taxed out of their homes and out the ears. And so now we didn't have any real representation in the appraisal district or the property tax system in general. And so now we're going to have that representation in the appraisal district system. I'm really excited about it because when something goes wrong at the appraisal district, or if they're doing something I don't like, then I can now hold them accountable directly with my vote. And they have a reason to listen to me because now I get to hold them accountable.
I like where we're going with this. My first question is a little different, though. It's what are you drinking today? Because Wheeler just burned right through it, ready to get to the pizza and the beer here. What are you having today, Chandler? Because yours is maybe the most interesting on the table.
It is a clear liquid so hard that it would blow your mind. It's not vodka. It's not gin. It is water.
Let's just say
the essence of life.
Let's just say right now that if, you know, even in our absolute prime, Whiteley and I have never been as fit as Chandler Crouch is today right now.
Yeah. Combined, we've never been.
And so perhaps there is a lesson at this table, you know, as we're sitting here looking at these humongous pizzas and having beers, and Chandler does not partake in a lot of pizza or beer. So,
but for the record, you ordered both pizzas here. I was just going to have a pint, and you said, yeah, well, I'll do a couple of pizzas.
Yeah.
And
I'm the devil sitting on your shoulder.
In case
saying,
you,
hey,
yeah, exactly.
Come on.
All the time you are. But, you know, if you want to read Wheeler like a book, of course, he ordered the fruit beer here. They have 2 pages worth of beer here.
And several of them.
One fruit beer. And guess who got it?
Well, I only do it because I know it bothers you. It's a sour. It's called the Cranberry Scone, and it's really good.
And the percentages, the ABV?
I don't know. I think it was 8.5 or something like that.
They have one here that's 15.4%.
15.6.
15.6.
Yeah, that is called the Big Top, and that is
that's
being consumed by our producer,
Daryl
Golden.
I hope this is being recorded.
Is Daryl still awake? Yeah, I mean, it's
there's a red light over there, right?
Yeah, thankfully it's in a tiny little glass because it needs to be.
All right, let's get back to it.
So what are you having? Menu, though.
I didn't talk about myself here. I'm having the...
that's a first.
It is, yes. I'm having the lager. It's Diamond Dogs. It's a Vienna lager. It's 5%. So it's good stuff, but it's not as creative as yours. So let's get back to Wheeler's question here and kind of where we're going. The whole point of this is we finally have taxation with representation. But just lay it out here. There are three people who can be elected in counties over 75,000 people. But still, there's a bigger board, and that's just a sliver of the board, right? How much say, when I saw this get passed and get included last year, how big of a deal is it? How much of a say is it? Because they can still be overridden, can't they?
They can. There are, on counties our size, in major metropolitan areas, there's going to be 5 members of the board that are just like normal. There's no real change to that. Then they're also going to make the tax assessor a voting member, and now these 3 additional people. So there's going to be 9 voting members on this board. Seems like it's going to get pretty crowded in these rooms. The thing that I'm really excited about is another change that was implemented in this law, which is that the board of directors will now be in charge of hiring the appraisal review board members. These are the people that are going to oversee our protests and make the determination on whether or not the value protest is in favor of the homeowner or the appraisal district. And so the entire board gets to vote on that. But if two out of the three of these publicly elected members don't agree that with the overall decision, then that person doesn't get hired.
The fine print there. Yeah,
that's an interesting point to make. And I think when we say that, you know, you're going to be able to elect board members, people think of the appraisal review board. This isn't them. This is the people who will oversee them that you're electing. Talk a little bit about this, because, you know, a lot of people have welcomed this and said, hey, that's welcome. You know, taxpayers should have, you know, people they can hold accountable on that board. There are others, though, who say, we kind of worry about a slippery slope here. We don't want to politicize these boards. Now, these will be, quote unquote, nonpartisan elections. We all know that any election, though, has some partisanship to it. You know, these people bring ideals and you know, perhaps some kind of dogma to these races. Do you worry that it could include some politicization of appraisal boards?
Absolutely, but that won't be a big change. I think now we just get to participate in that political environment. Up to this
point, it was always
point,
political, you're saying.
Absolutely, yeah. It's always been political. Now, I think that it's more active in certain counties than others. In Tarrant County, it's been kind of the epicenter of everything property tax related and appraisal district related. So the appointment process that has traditionally happened to appoint these members of the board, that's been highly politicized already. And so there's now we just get a chance to say, the taxpayers get a chance to weigh in on this. Up until now, it's been the same exact people that set your tax rates and set the budget are the ones that have been appointing the board of directors. And that's just not fair. I don't want government bureaucrats back scratching and making, you know, the good old boy system, and by putting the people that they want on those boards. I saw a lot of corruption in that whenever I got started in 2017, and that's one reason that I became more involved, is because I thought, you know, I see that there were at that time there was an employee at the appraisal district basically ensuring that the people he wanted on that board got on the board, and it just couldn't have been any dirtier. So now I want us to blame. I want the taxpayer to be responsible for who's on that board and have more of a say. I understand the
Now I always have trouble with that word.
Can anybody say this today? I don't know how to say
Can
it.
You say it? No, say it real quick with a mouthful of pizza.
Politicization.
Let's call it the P word.
The P word. All yes, right. I like that.
This is a turning point in the podcast right here.
Oh, no.
Well, no, right. And he's not even drinking today. Chandler's the one not drinking. But so, go ahead, Chandler.
I think that I would share the same exact concern if the chief appraiser was elected. We don't want our values to be politicized. We want our representation to be politicized. And there is a real difference in ideology out there and who's serving who. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that people that are serving me are in a position to oversee everybody else so that we can hold them accountable. But when it comes down to who's actually establishing the values, we want highly qualified people that aren't trying to pander to their donors and that sort of thing to make those decisions, and that's not changing. So I like that. I think the chief appraiser shouldn't be elected. I think that we need highly qualified people that have gone out and have experience, gotten additional certifications, licenses, and have a track record of doing good appraisals. They need to be hired, and we just need to have the oversight to end
with
the taxpayer in charge. Mm.
So people are running for these offices right now, and I'm just curious, you know, Tarrant County's a little different. If people haven't followed news about Tarrant County, they've been in, you guys have had a lot of issues. You're from Fort Worth. You guys have had a lot of issues at the Tarrant Appraisal District. But the other 253 appraisal districts across the state, it may not be as political there. It may not have as much scandal and drama. Who are the people running for these? Are we going to get, you know, I saw, I think one of the people running in Tarrant County is a former city council person from one of the suburbs in Tarrant County. Who do you expect to see? Real estate professionals or just regular Joes? Well, Wheeler, who?
Won't be me.
Come on. You'd be great on there, actually. Yeah, I mean, really, who we want to run are people that are going to stand up and represent the interests of taxpayers. That's who we want. But who's actually throwing their hat in the ring are people that are just kind of involved in already throwing their hat in the ring in other ways. There's more than one city council member running. There. Well, and I guess we could could include past city council members. Right. There's people that have been termed out in their city council position. Now they're just looking for another way to serve. And those are the people that are in, have a lifestyle of volunteering and public service. They're already kind of primed for this position. And so they're throwing their hat in the ring. And I think it's a good thing. Somebody that's familiar with government, but there to represent us. I don't have a problem with that at all. And that we're seeing that. We are seeing some political activists get involved. I haven't seen an overwhelming amount of people that are in the real estate industry that are hopping in. Mm-hmm. Certainly, just about everybody has a real estate license, so it's kind of hard to not run into a realtor that's interested in doing that sort of thing. But I know a big concern that people had is that the larger tax consultants would be funding these campaigns and getting people on the boards. I haven't seen that. Huh. So a lot of the fears people have had just haven't come to fruition yet.
Hmm. Yeah, and you wonder too, like, what kind of platform do you run on for something like this too? Because you're not allowed, for instance, to go, I'm gonna, you know, make everything, you know, lower for you, for your valuations, et cetera, et cetera. So it's almost like, how do you, what do you tell voters to inspire them to get up and vote? And I really wonder about what we're gonna see as far as turnout goes on this, because, you know, this is gonna be a May election this time around. They'll start serving in July of this year. Usually it'll be on the following January, but, you know, since this is new, they're gonna start serving in July. And I just really wonder what turnout is gonna be like, because you start going down the ballot, especially in these May elections, you know, turnout is abysmal to begin with, but as you get further and further down the ballot, you know, to these races that most people haven't studied much, you just don't see a lot of people casting votes.
No, you don't. I think that your suspicions will probably be true. I bet it will be low turnout. And I think that a lot of the campaign promises that I'm hearing are things that are really unobjectionable. Things like, I want to increase accountability and transparency at the appraisal district, stand up for the rights of taxpayers. But really, honestly, that has been sorely needed. There are plenty of taxpayers that have a problem with what's going on at the appraisal district, and they want to hold someone accountable. They want to get in someone's ear and say, hey, here are the problems I've been having. Here's how I've been mistreated. And it seems like the appraisal district a lot of areas have been able to just kind of ignore those kind of concerns, and now they're not going to be able to ignore them.
But realistically, how much power are these three elected people going to have and lowering my valuation if I have a real problem with it?
I think that that's where a lot of the misconceptions lie is, number one, you've already mentioned it. There's, in some of the terminology, it's confusing. We talk about appraisal review board members, and we talk about the appraisal district board of director members. So
Sexy stuff here.
Enough to, if you're looking for something to put you to sleep. This is, no, just kidding. So these members actually have a fair amount of power. So these are people that are in charge of overseeing the entire appraisal district and how everything is run. They're the ultimate level of accountability. And the unique power that they have is being part of the process to hire essentially the jury when we go in and protest to make sure that it's somebody that is not so horrible, you know, it's not going to be anti-taxpayer. And that's what we're looking for. And so they have a unique power as far as that goes. And they're going to have 1 out of 9 votes for every other decision being made. But I'm really excited about, encouraged about.
You sound confident about this.
I'm excited about, you know, what I've been through in my history. I was begging for somebody to listen to me and somebody to stand up and do the right thing, and there was nobody for me to turn to. The appraisal district is not really accountable to anybody, and until now it should be the board of directors, but when the board is nominated or appointed by another bureaucrat, then they don't have a reason to listen to me. And so the comptroller does an audit every other year, but that doesn't really take care of the problem if you've got an out of control appraisal district that is attacking taxpayers. It doesn't really take care of that. So taxation with representation is what we want, and now we're getting it.
That actually makes me feel a little bit better that you feel the way that you do about this, because I think, you know, no one can argue with the fact that you have spent more time, I think, with appraisal districts than most of us, thankfully, will ever have to spend with appraisal districts. And you know the ins and outs, you know the workings and the guts of it all. If I am a regular, you know, property owner, best case scenario with this change, let's say I go, I show up every time I vote for these, you know, appraisal board members when I'm allowed to. Best case scenario, what kind of difference are they going to make for me as just a regular homeowner? Worst case scenario, what could happen? Like, what would you say would be the warning that you would like lawmakers to watch out for as they watch what happens with this sort of, you know, I mean, we're guinea pigs in this. This is a new thing. They're going to be watching this. What would you tell them to watch for?
Best case scenario, what changes are we going to see? What's the best case scenario? Okay. I think that we're going to have additional processes and additional functions that the appraisal district will do to help educate the public and help us to understand how our values are being arrived at and to make sure that that's a fair process. Mm-hmm. The appraisal district can't just do whatever they want without any accountability. And so, you know, it's really difficult to say beyond those kind of things. There's if you've got a really big problem, if we have somebody in the appraisal district system that is known to be against the taxpayer and doing things that are unfair, not giving the taxpayer the proper respect, understanding that they serve us, then those people will be fired. And we can hold those people accountable, and our elected officials will be able to do that on our behalf. And so I think that that level of confidence helps me pay my tax bill, knowing that there's somebody out there watching my back. And I think that that's the big deal.
Before we get to worst case scenario real quickly, do you think that just by having elected members on the board, you know, not to question what any of these folks do when they go out and do these property appraisals, I think there are lots of people who are in this who are really working hard to keep it straight, to keep it all above board. Do you think that just by having elected members on there, though, who are going to be perhaps advocating for taxpayers, do you think that's going to change the process of how valuations are done? Do you think that they're going to become a little bit more conservative in what they do when they start valuing properties?
I don't.
You don't?
Really?
Nope.
You don't?
Nope, I don't. In fact, it's illegal.
Chandler, good to have you today. Thanks a lot.
I'm going to drink my water and get out.
But you don't think so, really?
Everybody else needs to need a stiffer drink after this. No, well, it's actually illegal for board members to talk about specific values. Right. And so they're just not in the valuation process as much. The number one and number two stated responsibilities of board members is to manage, hire, and fire the chief appraiser.
Yeah.
Then they have to trust that the chief appraiser is providing oversight for the entire organization. The other thing that they do is pass the budget. And so those two elements, though, they do get to control everything, at least indirectly, everything that happens in the appraisal district. Now, the other side of this coin, I keep coming back to it, it's the appraisal review board. It's technically supposed to be a different entity altogether.
Right.
This is when you don't like your value, if you want to protest and make sure that, you know, and show your evidence to state sure. your case on why your value should be lower. Up until now, we had to just trust that there were good, competent people in place. Now we get to have somebody elected by us ensuring that those people are good. I can tell you a couple names of people, I'm not going to, but a couple names of people at the Tarrant Appraisal District that are just horrible ARB members. A couple. Now, that's, but I agree with you.
And what makes them horrible?
They 100% of the time, verifiably, side with the appraisal district 100% of the time.
No matter what you bring.
No matter what. Okay. It doesn't matter.
This will help to at least perhaps remedy that, because again, you get a couple of these elected board members who, you know, put that appraisal review board together. If they reject someone, they're out. So let me ask you, since this is new, we'll go back to the other question about the worst case scenario. Since this is new, we've created something new. How do we make sure that it's, you know, not a Frankenstein? You know, what would you say to lawmakers? Hey, be on the lookout for the possibility of this when we start electing some of these board members.
It's funny that you use the word Frankenstein, because we've got Frankenstein right now. That's why
we're in Tarrant County or everywhere? I guess everywhere, right?
Really everywhere. Yeah, yeah. There is a disease inside appraisal districts in general that of attacking the taxpayer. That's the disease. Protect the appraiser, attack the taxpayer. And that disease has infiltrated many appraisal districts. The only thing to guard us against that disease is quality leadership at the local appraisal district. And I believe now, for the record, I believe now we have that quality leadership in Tarrant County. They're still just dealing with remnants and leftovers from past administration.
But a disease, though.
Absolutely, it's a disease. And that's why we see this big problem. And then, you know, the disease, the problems are multifaceted. You have elected officials at the local level passing outrageous budgets and outrageous tax rates, and then pointing at the appraisal district like they caused all the problems, and nothing could be further from the truth. And so what that does is it pits the appraisal district against the public, and it causes a war. And then if you work in an appraisal district and you are somebody good and quality that just goes to work to try and do a good job, uphold the law, and you know provide accurate values, but you constantly have members of the public walking in your doors treating you like dirt, then the natural reaction is to go into the break room and commiserate with your fellow employees that are also getting treated like dirt. And before you know it, it becomes this tribal mentality where you have the disgruntled public walking into the appraisal district and the appraisal district employees defending themselves. And then, you know, it creates a toxic atmosphere. It takes good leadership locally to guard against that. The reason why we're here is because this system was passed and appraisal districts came into being in 1979. If it was a different day, I'd be able to tell you the name of the bill that was passed, but whatever it is. That's when appraisal districts were formed, 1979, and it was a good solution for then. Back then, it was way worse than it is now. Instead of having to go to every school district, every city, and every county and fight appraisal separately at each one of those entities, they centralized the process so you only have to fight it at one place.
Wow, you used to have to fight everyone.
Everyone, yeah.
Okay.
And every one of those entities could have arrived at a completely different value. It was just,
oh my gosh,
it was just insanity.
Insanity.
That's before my time, but those are the horror stories I hear. So they centralized the process and it worked really well until now. It's just, we've been Frankensteining this whole system together, and this is just another, you know, bolt in the neck. It's a step in the right direction. Short of scrapping the entire thing, what choice do we have? Yeah. We're gonna have to keep coming up with good band-aids and good fixes. But I think transparency, accountability, having representation inside the system helps. And then we need to take it. The next step is to really start holding our elected officials accountable that are passing the budgets, so that we can make sure that gets reined in.
Yeah, you
get
a lot of
cities and counties. Yeah.
Yeah, you get a lot of people who show up to fight their appraisals. You do not get a lot of people who show up to budget meetings at the local offices where they're passing budgets that rely on those tax dollars. So it is, it's almost like the elected officials and those entities, cities and counties, et cetera, get a pass and everybody fights with the appraisal review board.
It is by design.
Yeah.
It is by design.
Huh.
They don't want us focused on them passing the budgets. And, you just keep pulling on this thread. You find more and more problems. A lot of the local elected officials just take staff recommendations on what needs to be passed in the budget.
Right.
And so they don't want the scrutiny because they don't really have any idea. They just got elected. They're just trying to make the best decisions they can. Nobody likes raising taxes, but they also don't want the entity that they are in charge of to fail. So they're just passing stuff. And without that taxpayer scrutiny there to hold them accountable, they're just going to pass it and keep budgets just go up and up. And they pass larger and larger budgets out of fear. They don't want to be shortchanged. And so then they point at the appraisal district like the appraisal district's the problem.
Like
it's just
fault.
Part of the problem, though.
So, Chandler, refresh my memory. Every 2 years, I think, like for Dallas County and Harris County, every 2 years evaluations are looked at. So the chances of my property taxes going up would be every other year is usually when it goes up. Is that right?
Well, the tax code requires them to reappraise property every 3 years.
Okay.
However, that's the limit. Most counties actually revalue every year.
So you can't go past 3 years.
You can't go past 3 years.
So I'm looking at some of the candidates running, at least for Tarrant County, which has been in the news a lot over the past 12 months with the appraisal district. And some of the candidates are talking about, well, I want to make sure values are only looked at every 3 years. So the chances of my property taxes going up doesn't happen every year. It doesn't happen every 2 years, but every 3 years. How likely is something like that with as fast as Texas is growing?
I don't think that will probably pass. I think it's a great idea that hasn't been in the mainstream conversation that much. Just identifying that that's a legal possible remedy to our problems, I think is great to talk about. I think that there would be some great things that would solve, some big problems that would solve, but I also think there would be some unintended consequences. And so once you really start fleshing that out, I personally just don't think it'll pass. I love the conversation, though. I love the idea.
That would directly affect how much I pay out or how much anybody pays out, either in escrow or if you write your own check every year, right?
Kind of.
If it passed.
Kind of. So here's what happens. When a local city passes their budget, that's a completely independent function than what my appraisal is for at the appraisal district. So that entire budget is going to have to get satisfied.
Right.
No matter what. And it's going to.
Each taxing entity might raise their rates or whatever, which would impact how much I pay.
Okay, instead of my property value going up, my rate would go up. And so my property value determines my personal share of that entire budget.
Yeah.
Every year it fluctuates because my house either goes up or down. Yeah. It always goes up. But
has anyone's go down?
Every year,
now and then.
There are a few. But if they kept the appraisals the same, one really positive thing that would happen is that our appraisal would stay the same, but our bill would go up, and then people would look towards our elected officials and give the blame in the right area and hold the right people accountable, the people that are passing the budget. We would realize, hey, wait a second, these politicians that have been telling us they haven't been raising our taxes are actually the ones to blame.
Right.
So that would be one positive. Can I give you a negative on that?
No, we're a positive podcast here.
Okay. No, we do negative all the time.
Wheeler's been asking about negatives forever here. Yeah. He wants to know the worst case scenario.
It's all I focus on, man.
He's asked you three times and you haven't answered the question. So what is the negative?
Well, the negative of that one campaign idea or policy idea would just be the same drawback that we have with exemptions in general. And I actually helped file a bill that would limit appraisals to a maximum of 5% gain per year. Right now, if you have a homestead exemption, the most your taxable value is going to go up is 10% per year.
Right.
That's a great thing. It keeps our taxes in check on some level. But what ends up happening is the difference between what you're getting taxed on and what your home is actually worth, that gets further and further apart. And so if it kind of locks you into your house. If you sell your house and you go buy a house of comparable value, now your taxes are going to be much higher. And so it causes a ripple effect in the economy. Right now, the way things are, it's not devastating. But if we started only valuing every 3 years, then it would just create more of that dynamic.
The gap would widen.
Because you think about this. If it can only increase 10%, but you have that jump every third year, then you're going to get 10% off the value that was 3 years ago.
Okay. Right. You know? I want to ask you this. So we're heading into another legislative session this coming January. A lot happened with property values, property taxes, et cetera, in the last session. Do you see more happening in the session ahead? And if you sort of had a wish list that was short, what would you be telling lawmakers? Because they're still hearing from people.
My wish list is long. traditionally, what's happened is on the heels of major reform, we don't see a lot of change.
Right.
And right now, I don't want to say we don't need a lot of change. We do, but last year's change was enormous.
So we have to absorb that first.
Right, and just see where the unintended consequences were. There were a lot of bills that were passed that, quite frankly, weren't thought through very well. That was all last minute, at the end of the second special session, in a midnight meeting kind of thing behind closed doors.
We'll give you the text later. Yeah. Just go ahead and vote.
So I want to applaud that they got something passed. It was significant. But we still have the same Frankenstein system here. It's just that they bought us some time so that we're not at that crisis level anymore. I think in 4 more years, we'll be at that crisis level again. So between now and then, I think a lot of the legislation we're going to see is just going to take the rough edges off of what we've seen already. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, the legislation on the state level, it affects all counties, big or small, and so they might come in and put some population restrictions on some of the changes and just take the rough edges off. But I don't think we're going to see anything major this year.
There's early talk about this legislative session that there'll be another huge surplus. I think one number I heard, $30 billion, which is massive. And the governor's already said, hey, I'd like to spend some of this on buying down property taxes again. You're shaking your head. You're taking a big, deep breath on this. Before you answer, though, can the state sustain this in the coming years? I mean, these are big surpluses right now, but they're not going to be around forever.
Your guess is as good as mine. Nobody could have seen COVID coming.
Sure.
And you know, you had the 2008 crash. And so these surpluses will be around as long as times are good. But, you know, I think the governor tends to tout big things in the off season. Like before the last legislative session, he was right on the bandwagon talking about getting rid of half of the school district tax, which is what became a very popular idea. Then all of a sudden he was completely silent on it until it was kind of too late to do anything about it. And then he kind of brought the idea back. I think that major reform is needed. As long as we keep putting these band-aids on it, we're not going to see it. We're going to keep Frankensteining the thing together. But I think that
major reform in lowering our property tax bills, or major reform and just how the whole appraisal districts work across the state, or what?
You know,
everything.
If I had a good solution for you, then I'd tell you about it. I've heard all the ideas, and you hear some people talk about trying to get rid of property taxes and go into more of a consumption tax.
Right.
I don't know if that's really feasible. I've tried to do the math on that and talk to people that would be in charge, like in the comptroller's office and on the state level. I haven't seen that math work yet. I love the idea, and I think that there are smarter people that are in the back rooms figuring that stuff out. But I think that we are in a situation where when we're taxed on unrealized gains, unrealized money,
right?
Money that's not in our pocket, but
yet you're still in the home, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We have to pay tax on that. That if that's not tempered and spread out far and wide enough, then the burden on the individual person becomes too great. A minute ago, you asked me, well, what kind of ideas would I want to see implemented? There's a real, real big problem in the disparity between how commercial properties are valued and residential. So commercial properties don't have the same issues that we have in single-family residential, where their valuations are a multiple of the revenue that's generated by the company. Mm-hmm. So as their revenue increases, their tax bill increases. It's a more functional system.
But if their revenue goes down, they get a bit of a break.
It should go down. Yep.
Yeah.
In single family residential, our income and our ability to pay is a completely separate thing that our property value. Our wealth may be increasing, but we can't access that wealth to pay our bills.
Right.
So that's a real problem. And then also, there's a big problem in, the lower property value properties and the higher end properties. And it really comes down to access to help. The higher end property owners can afford to pay people to help them because a lot of the tax consultants make money as a percentage of how much they save somebody.
Right.
Well, if you've got a $1 million property and you save somebody 10%, that 10% is a much larger number than 10% of a $200,000 property. And so people on the lower end just aren't able to get the help. That's just part of the nature of this. So I just think that those kind of things need to be addressed, and I've got some ideas to do that. Let me just give you one really simple one. If I don't like the result of my protest hearing, I can appeal that. I can arbitrate it. Well, the fee to arbitrate is like $400. And it's a flat fee no matter the size of your property.
Mm-hmm.
And now that arbitrator has to, that's how they get their money. Mm-hmm. So the arbitrator's time is worth a constant value. I get that, but it makes it
it's a barrier.
It's a barrier for people with lower property value to go appeal a decision. And I just think if we were to make that a percentage of the value of the home and still pay the arbitrator the same thing, but maybe on the higher end homes, put that money in a reserve account that can supplement the lower end homes and make it a 1% fee so it's proportionate to the size of the property.
Yeah.
That's something that makes sense. It would give the people on the lower end of the scale the same opportunity to appeal their protest. I think that the legislation, excuse me, I'm getting choked up here just thinking about
it. Take a swig.
I think that the legislation that would need to pass in order to make that happen, would be a little bit more complex. And so those kind of solutions are hard to come by because the...
Yeah, you can't do those at, you know, 11:59 at night on exactly. the last day of the session and get everybody on board with it. So that's why that maybe doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. My last thing for you is kind of unrelated to this, but still related. Ransomware attacks. I mean, they're going through it now in the Tarrant Appraisal District. Dallas just went through a bad one. Its systems had to be totally rebuilt. You know, you wonder as a property owner, like, who has, you know, did somebody get my info, you know, et cetera? Bexar County has been through this, San Antonio. What is the deal? Why are these being targeted so much for ransomware? And should I be concerned about that as a property owner?
You should absolutely be concerned, but I think it's important to temper your level of concern. So
yeah. A lot of these are public record anyway.
Right. You have to think about what's at risk for me as a taxpayer. The only thing at risk is what you've given them to be at risk. And so I'm going to touch that here in a second. But the reason we're seeing this happen is because the people that are hacking and holding appraisal districts ransom, they're just trying to make money.
Yeah.
It's a business for them.
They know that this appraisal process has to move through each year because a lot of entities rely on that money. And so if we lock your system up, you're going to have to pay us because you got to get these appraisals out and these entities have to be able to make their money, their tax money.
Yep. There's a statutory deadline. Yeah. So it's coming April 15th. Here we are at the end of March. Sure. They know the deadline is upon them. The appraisal district doesn't have a choice. I think the odds they pay out are pretty high. Mm. And so, wow. And it's a soft spot. Appraisal districts are, maybe they don't have the best funding to make sure that their security is up to date as it needs to be. I think that they're learning. I think that the days of ransomware attacks on appraisal districts is hopefully ending because now they know they're a target. But what's at risk for the average person? More than likely, if they got access to the system, which I believe they absolutely did, I could see evidence of it before it ever happened, it was driver's licenses. Those are the main things. Because you have to produce your driver's license in order to qualify for a homestead exemption. Mm. And here in Tarrant County, I was raising the alarm bell when the last hack happened, because there's been several at this point. I was telling everybody, your personal information is at risk and you need to know about it. At that point, under a previous administration, they were covering it up. They weren't telling people that their information was at risk. And I think it's because they didn't have the evidence in order to be able to do that. So they did an investigation and I was saying, hey, your bank account information, your social security number could be at risk. And it is for a very small number of people.
Wow.
If you protested your property value and you submitted all the documents from when you bought your house,
oh, wow.
A certain percentage of the people providing those documents included their loan application, all the documents in their closing package, and in their loan application, there are bank account information, social security number, that sort of thing. The good news is the amount of people that it affects to that extent are very, very few, less than 1%.
Okay.
I still think we owe those people the obligation of notifying them that, hey, whatever you've handed over to the appraisal district is at risk. Thankfully, if all they have is our driver's license, they're not going to be able to do too much damage. So I'm not concerned. It's something that we need to be notified on, so that we can kind of have our eyes open, but there's not just a ton we can do about it because there's not a ton at risk.
Plus, I just like to put out the notice that, you know, to anybody who wants to be an identity thief, like, you really don't want to be me, so just don't. Leave me alone. Go to Whiteley. You want to be him.
They want to be your bank accounts where they want to be. last thing before we tie it off here, you know, we're 10 months out from the legislative session, as Jason mentioned. This is the time when lawmakers are looking for ideas to create legislation around. What would you tell them that we ought to look at now after getting so much accomplished in this regard last year?
Well, I think that property tax is just not going to get a lot of attention, so I think probably focus on other areas. I like the idea of taking some of that budget surplus and using that to buy down the school district, half of the school district tax.
The M&R, the maintenance.
Maintenance and operations,
But M&O,
just realize, like, whenever they're doing that, they're not actually decreasing our tax burden. They're just taking it from our front pocket, and instead of taking it out of the front pocket, they're taking it out of our back pocket, really. It's just getting paid out of a different fund. I think that there are some really, really basic things that I'd like to see changed, and every time I'm asked this question, I bring this up because it's so basic and fundamental, it seems like it should just be easy to do. Unfortunately, it's not easy. It's just changing the terminology and making it making the terminology at the appraisal district line up with the everyday common usage of that terminology.
Yes.
If we start talking about the value of someone's house, I could give you 10 different terms: assessed value, appraised value, market value. Wow. I could just keep going on.
It confuses value. People like crazy.
It's absurd. And we need to normalize that so that when the average Joe walks into the appraisal district and they want to have a conversation about their value, they can use regular words and be understood and understand the words being. If we can't even use regular words to navigate the conversation, we don't stand a chance. And so I think that that's where it needs to begin. So hopefully we can see that at
that's
some
an
point.
Easy one. That's an easy one to do. I
it's
would
so easy it's yeah. hard.
Well, here's the problem, because I've actually gone down this path. I had Matt Krause was a legislator that I worked cooperatively with to write these bills, and he was signing on to whatever idea I had as long as it lined up with the interests of the taxpayer. That was my number one idea. We sent it down the chute. What would have to happen is everywhere those terms appear in the tax code, they have to draw a line through it, write the correct term, and the stack of paper that would be generated to do that would be larger than what if there was some stack of paper that's very large, like larger than the entire budget, or larger than it would be a stack, you know, several feet high. In order,
so it will
to
never
that.
Get changed. Then
it'll never get changed. I think that there's probably a solution if they just cared enough to say, we give local appraisal districts the ability to use common everyday usage as long as there's the proper, you know, footnote with an asterisk to, that lines up with the tax code to, you know, cover their butt or whatever. Then we need them to be able to speak normal language to people, you know, understandable language, and that's where it should start.
Always good insight, Chandler. Thanks so much, man, and I hope you enjoy the beverage there.
Oh man, it's a lot of fun. No, I appreciate the opportunity to come on.
Yeah,
thank you
man.
All for paying attention and bringing this stuff to the.
And
service.
Just to remind people too, though, because they're going to start getting their appraisals for their homes in the mail here very soon after April 15th here, and if you have a question about thinking your house is value too high, you want to protest that. Go to ChandlerCrouch.com, watch some of your videos, listen to our old podcast that we've done with Chandler, because it's fantastic stuff. I actually used some of your tips before, too, to successfully protest mine, and it worked.
And again, the blog on Chandler Crouch's website gives a lot of insight into what we're talking about here, if you'd like to find out more on that.
ChandlerCrouch.com/blog.
And this year, I'm going to be expanding into other areas. It's going to give people stronger, more powerful tools to get your value down, and I'm really excited about it. It's just every year I try and level
up. Wait, you buried the lead here.
Yeah. Teasing us here.
Those are going to be on the website?
I'll put it on the website, yeah.
When will that happen?
Well, I don't know when this is going to air, but it'll be there before you have to protest.
Good. Okay, right. Interesting. Yeah, okay.
Thanks to Turning Point Beer
Turning Point
as well
beer
in Bedford, man. This
here
is,
in Bedford.
It's getting loud in here now.
And for people who are not familiar with Bedford, it is part of HEB, not the grocery store chain. Hearst, Euless, Bedford, three cities that are situated between Dallas and Fort Worth.
Yeah, just west of DFW Airport,
right.
On Highway 183 is where it is. So thanks so much for listening as always. Chandler, thanks again. Wheeler has some pizza to take home with him here too. So good stuff.
I'm going to finish it here.
Yeah.
Appreciate
thanks,
you guys.
Thanks
as always.
Thanks. Hey, y'all. Want to see the Jasons Talk Politics? Download the WFAA Plus streaming app for your smart TV. And watch the latest episode of Y'allitics each Wednesday night at 8:30.